I want you to go to book with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Book of Matthew, chapter 7. We're going to go to verse 24. If you guys don't mind, I'm just going to go right into this thing. Hey, I got it. All right, Matthew, chapter 7, verse 24. And if you just do me a favor, like they would do in old school church, give me an amen when you get there. Amen. All right. Matthew chapter 20, or chapter 7, verse 24, it says this. Can somebody, Abby, can you turn that for me? Thank you. From me. Thank you. Yeah, I didn't want it blowing my pages away. Thank you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 says this. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I'm going to read till 29. It says, and when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had great authority. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you speak to each and every one of us individually, God. I pray that this morning, that you would have your way as you already have, God, and that just like you didn't disappoint during the worship, Lord, you will not disappoint during the word. And so, Lord, minister to each and every heart as you seem fit, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to be honest with you guys. My original intent this morning was to come up here and cast vision and stir up faith and, you know, preach a message that would inspire you to give towards what God is doing, because at the end of the day, the reality is that that's what they teach us to do when you make moves like what we're doing and we're going to a school. And I would be lying to you to say that I wasn't a little bit anxious, you know, like I didn't feel that burden or a little bit of stress thinking about the move, because like Kev said, there's stuff that we need, right? We're going to need some TVs because all this stuff belongs to this school, and we're going to need chairs, and we're going to need kids stuff, and we're going to need pipe and drape. We're going to all these things. We're going to need more people because the setup is going to be a lot more. So my intention was to come up here and like stir you guys up with faith to want to give more and serve more and get connected more. But I really felt challenged from the Lord to not do that. For the simple reason because I have always promised the Lord that whatever he led us into, whatever he was going to do with Kingdom Co., that I trust that he would provide to do, to provide the things that we needed, and that I trusted him to do what he needed to do, and all I was going to do is just be faithful to what he called us to do. And I felt challenged also because the very real reality is that as a pastor, every single day throughout the week, I'm on the phone talking to people. I'm connecting with people personally. My wife and I are having meetings with people. And the very real reality is that so many of us are going through some very difficult things in life. If I could tell you, I could be honest with you, I've had a very heavy week. And it's not because I'm serving people and I'm meeting with people and I'm talking with people and I'm walking them through difficult things, but because as a shepherd and as a pastor, like I feel the burdens of the sheep. When my sheep are not doing well, when they're not feeling well, when they're not going through the right thing or going down the right path, they're not making the right decisions, I feel that burden on me because I care for your soul and I love you guys deeply and I'm concerned for what's going on in your life. And I just didn't feel like it would do it justice to sit up here and stir your faith for what God is doing in a building and not stir your faith for what God wants to do in you personally. Because I can tell you, if I'm being honest with you, there's a lot of great things that I could say about what God is doing in a new season that really wouldn't help you in this season that you're in right now. So many of you are walking through some very difficult things right now. Some of you are hurting in your marriages. Some of you are grieving losses. Some of you are barely making it through financially. And some of you are fighting battles that nobody else even sees. And I'm not trying to air anybody's business, because let me tell you something. If you're sitting there going, Pastor Jose is talking about you, I promise you he's not talking about you. He's talking about the person next to you or around you, because every single person in this building right now, if I could ask you to raise your hands, would tell me there's something that's burdening you financially. There's something going on in your marriage. There's something your children are struggling with. There's some kind of sickness or diagnosis that you received this week. There's an uncertainty about what your life is going to look like within the next few months, and on and on and on and on and on and on and it goes. But what I really want to encourage you to do is not so much focus on a building that we're going to put together and on a church that we're going to build, but focus on how you are building your life personally right now in this moment, because how you build your life determines how you're going to weather the storms. That's the point that Jesus is making in this text. When, by the time we get to chapter 7, verse 24, up to this point, Jesus has preached one of those the most profound and all-encompassing messages that anyone could ever preach. In fact, Jesus has done the very thing that they teach you in school not to do. When you go to school for this, to do this, they always tell you, hey, people more than likely have the attention span of a goldfish. So what's the one thing you wanted them to walk away with? What's the one purpose you want your message to have? What's the one idea you want them to remember? And just focus on that for 35 minutes. And by the way, don't exceed 35 minutes, because if you go beyond 35 minutes, everybody's hungry. They want to go to lunch. They're thinking about Applebee's, Larry's too, whatever it is that goes through your mind. I hope it's not Moe's, because it's devastating right now. Let's just say their quesadillas are more like a cheese melt. You know what I mean? And so Jesus does the total opposite of what today's culture and society would tell you to do. And he preaches one of the longest messages that you could ever preach. And in this message, he covers a whole ton of stuff, like how to truly define what it means to live a blessed life. And he reminds us that we are the salt and the light of the world, and we ought to be living a life that makes a difference and brings glory to the Father. That we are to, like him, live according to the words and the commands of God and ensure that our righteousness exceeds that of the religious activity that we so commonly fall into. And he teaches how to deal with your anger within the context of your relationships and your friendships. He teaches how to deal with the topic of divorce, which, by the way, he says there's no justification for it outside of there being some kind of adultery or sexual immorality. And he teaches us that relationships are not something that we should be willingly just giving up on. He talks about divorce and teaches that God values covenant and faithfulness and truthfulness without manipulation. And then he goes into talking about how we should deal with our anger and not respond with retaliation. And that encompasses all of our relationships, marriage, friendship, co-workers, whoever we find ourselves driving alongside of on the road, that we should not be quick to be angry and retaliate, but instead we should demonstrate love to our enemies. He teaches on the topic of living generously and prayer and fasting, and teaches us how to pray. And he reminds us that true security comes from storing treasures in heaven and serving God, not serving money. And he encourages us by teaching us that trusting God and trusting God's provision and seeking God's kingdom is the best thing that we could do for our lives. And he tells us how we shouldn't be anxious about tomorrow, because tomorrow has its own problems. And so what matters is today. And if he clothed the birds of the skies and he clothed the grass and the fields with flowers, how much more will he care for you? And then from there, he goes on to talking about how we deal with judging other people, but also being able to differentiate between what's a false prophet and a false disciple. And it's in this context that he comes to the closing of his message. This is the point that we get to every week
where now he's getting to the whole crux of everything. And he's trying to summarize it all up. This is his altar call moment. This is the moment where he's basically trying to get you to understand you have a decision to make. Now that you've heard all of these things, how to deal with your marriage, how to deal with your friendships, how to live a life that glorifies God, how to live a life to make a difference and not just kind of hide the fact that you're a believer, but actually live out as a believer on the front lines. Now that you've heard all of this, he says, and he makes his like altar call moment, and he says, everyone who hears my words, these words of mine, these words that I have preached to you, this word that I have written to you, this word that I've left you, this encouragement, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall. Why? Because it had been founded on the rock. Then he gives us an introduction to another person. And he says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it did fall, it fell, and great was its fall. Like, what he's trying to do is he's trying to get you to understand that at any given moment in time, you have to make a decision between being one of two people. There are only two types of people in this world. Whether you are black, white, Hispanic, Chinese, whether you're rich, poor, whether you're fit or not fit, whether you're healthy, unhealthy, whether you make a lot of money or don't make a lot of money, whether you came from a very good background or came from a very low socioeconomic background, it does not matter. You're always one of these two people. You're either the person who hears my words and does that thing, or you are the person who hears it and doesn't do it. Now, the Bible makes a distinction between the two people. The person who hears the word and does do it is the wise builder who builds his house on the sand. And when the rains fall and when the flood grows and the wind blows, that house will remain standing no matter what it encounters in life. Like, the way that you weather your storm is not by avoiding it. And no matter how you build or what you build on, it does not exempt you from the trials. It does not exempt you from the difficulties of life. It does not exempt you from the consequences of your sins. It does not exempt you from the consequences of your own decision making. Whether you build on the rock as a wise person or you build on the sand as a foolish person, the reality is that we will all encounter the very real reality of the storms that we face in this life. Listen to me. Storms are not they're not a probability. Storms are a certainty. The question is not if you go through something. The question is when you go through something, are you able to weather it because you have built your house on a platform, on a foundation that makes it so that you last and so that you can weather the storm and so that you can remain standing and steadfast in your faith, no matter how discouraged you might feel, no matter how broken you might experiencing life, no matter how jacked up, messed up, cursed, or whatever you want to consider your life, no matter what you face, the benefit of actually living this thing out every single day is that no matter what you face, you will remain standing. My wife and I we always have conversations with people because people will typically look at our lives, they will look at our family, they will look at our marriage, they will look at the ministry, and they'll look at us and they'll go, man, you have such a beautiful, healthy marriage. You have such a wonderful family. Like, it's incredible what God is doing in ministry, and on and on and on. And then they'll couple that with, man, I wish I could be there. I wish that I could be experiencing these things. I wish that, and my wife and I will often look at them and go, listen to us. The secret sauce is not us. There's nothing special about us. There's nothing special about our marriage. It is just as broken as yours. There's nothing special about our family. It is just as imperfect as yours. There's nothing special about how we do ministry outside of Jesus. It is just as imperfect as everything in your life. What makes the difference is where we build our house. You see, it's not what you build. It's how you build it and where you build it. Now, these people within this context of the first century church would have understood what Jesus was talking about. Because in that time of the first century, the Jordan Valley, which is where this is located, would have been a predominantly dry place until about the winter seasons when the rains, the heavy rains and the heavy storms would come, and it would cause the rivers to rise and cause flash floods to rise, and then it would destroy homes that were built on solid or on sand versus not destroying the homes that were built on rock. And they would have understood that the wise builder takes the time to actually dig deep into the ground until it gets to the rock that will sustain them, which meant that they would have understood what it meant to live this kind of life where you actually have to put in an effort, where you actually have to do the hard thing. And you couldn't be like the foolish builder who would only go so deep within the sand because it cost them less. It was quicker, it was easier, and that's how many of us view Christianity today. We do what's quick, easy, and doesn't cost us much. We want the healthy marriage without the cost of dying to ourselves. Because by the way, what it takes to have a healthy relationship in any context, whether that's a friendship, whether that's an engagement or a marriage, even a coworker, what makes any relationship healthy is whether or not the two people within it are willing to die to themselves. And that's not easy. It's not easy to lay down your pride. It's not easy to lay down your frustrations. It's not easy to lay down your own flesh. It's not easy to sacrifice and to invest what it's going to cost to actually produce something that's going to be healthy. I would love to say to you that what we have accustomed to within life and even Christianity as a whole is we would like to see the fruit without the actual work of having to dig deep, to invest the seed into the soil, to put in the work of having to water and feed what God is doing in our lives so that then the fruit of His Holy Spirit could actually be produced in our lives. And they would have understood this. Because some of them that Jesus may have been talking to may have actually even experienced the very thing Jesus is talking about. You see, the point that Jesus is making is that listening isn't the foundation. Living is. And we miss the mark because the reality is that many of us, we come to church each and every single week, and we only go so far and so deep. Because it's easier to sit in a chair. It's easier to sing the songs. It's easier to carry in your Bible on a Sunday than it is to pick it up every single day, Monday through Friday. It's easy to put the blame on someone else and not look introvertedly at myself. It's easy within the context of what Jesus is talking about to look at the person slapping me in the face and want to retaliate. Which is not Jesus saying, hey, when Jesus says you should turn the other cheek, it's not Jesus saying that you should let people walk all over you and abuse you. It's Jesus saying that you should be less inclined to want to retaliate out of anger and frustration and more inclined to want to glorify God by pursuing peace and love. But the reality is that many of us take the easy way out. And we take the easy way by building our house on things that will never sustain us. And it's why what Jesus is saying is where you build And how you build matters more than what you build. You see, this is not about Jesus telling you what kind of house you should build, what kind of business you should run, what kind of investments you should. That's not what Jesus is talking about. At the end of the day, these people only had two differences. Because you have to understand that both the wise men, the wise person who built the house on the rock, and the foolish person who built the house on the sand had the same exact exposure to the truth. They both knew what was right. They both knew what was wrong. They both heard the word of God. They both received the word of God. They both listened to Jesus speaking. The difference was not in what they heard and what they were exposed to. The difference is in how they applied what they were exposed to. What makes the difference in your life is where you build your foundation and what you build your foundation upon, not what you build upon your foundation. And many of us are focused on the external. But guess what? There was another difference that was not different between the two. There was another thing that wasn't different between the two. The house that they built. Notice that Jesus doesn't say this one looked better than this one. So you could go through this life looking like everything is totally fine on the surface until the storm actually tests the validity of your foundation. You could go through life and everything will look okay. The house and the shutters would look amazing. The bank account is no different between a person who's righteous and unrighteous. The business looks no different on the outside between the person who's righteous and unrighteous. Everything looks the same. They built the same house. They built the same type of house in the same neighborhood. It looked everything like looked like it was all good. And that's why we have to be careful, because not everything that looks like Christianity is Christianity. Not everything that looks like Jesus is Jesus. Not everything that looks okay is okay. And many of you know this because your house looks good on the outside, but on the inside, there's cracks all over. The foundation is wobbly. The drywall is cracked. The paint is looking a little bit sketchy, and everything looks like it's falling apart. And the moment that something hits you, that's why the moment something hits you, you're running to Pastor Jose going, I don't know how this happened. And I don't say that out of anger and frustration. I say that out of concern. Because you could avoid the destruction if you just take God's word and begin to live it out every single day. Building on a solid rock takes work. I know. I just had an addition put on my house. And I'm going, bro, why is this taking so long? Why? Because I'd like for you to put my house up in 2 days. The reality is it takes work to build the proper foundation. It's grueling. It's hard. It's not easy, but the benefits outweigh the costs. The benefits outweigh the costs, which means that the cost of what it costs you to build the right foundation, to dig deep, to ensure that your house is standing firm and steadfast, is worth every single ounce of effort, cost, sacrifice, pain, sweat, and tears. Like, will we ever get to a point where this is actually more of a delight than it is an anguish? Like we talk about how much we love Jesus and how much we believe in him and how much we would give up for him. But can we actually do that without all the grumbling? Because it's a delight to do the hard work. And reality, it's not hard work at all. Jesus makes it simple. You hear my word, you live it out. That our response every time we open up the word of God and every time we hear anyone, not just me, just anyone proclaim the truth of God's word, the gospel of God's word, that we go, okay, how does my life not line up? And wherever it doesn't line up, I correct and I ensure that I realign it. Because that's what Jesus wants for our lives. James takes it even further in the book of James, chapter 2. And he says, anyone who hears the word of God but is not a doer of the word of God deceives himself. Like, you could actually deceive yourself into believing that you're building something that's rooted and grounded in Christ, and then you're completely and utterly destroyed the moment life hits you. Listen to me. The storms are guaranteed. You're never going to avoid them. As long as you have breath in your lungs, here's the bad news. It's gonna suck. Life on this earth is difficult. But the hope of being a believer who builds his house on the rock and the foundation of Christ and Christ alone is that one day I will leave this earth. And when I take my last breath here on this earth and I breathe my first breath in eternity, there will be a place where I will never have to suffer a storm again. There will be a place where I will never cry another tear. There will be a place where I'll never suffer from another sickness. There will be a place where my marriage will not have to struggle as much as it struggled. There will be a place where I have no lack. I have no need. I have no sorrow. I have no tears. I have no anguish. I have no sickness. It will all be peace, joy, and in the presence of the fullness of God who loves me, who died for me, who gave his life for me, who breathed his life into me, who gave me a love and a grace and a mercy that could never be replaced. And that place is simply, utterly, and only found in eternity in heaven. And us building our lives on the rock ensures that we are not living for today, but for tomorrow. For tomorrow. The problem with many of us is that we never keep tomorrow in mind. We only keep today. We only keep today in mind. The foundation, listen to me. A foundation of a house, if you know anything about construction, and I don't, but I know a little bit of it. The foundation is not something for you to enjoy today. The foundation is so that you have something to enjoy tomorrow. That stability, that security, that strength. Jesus says, anyone who builds their house, anyone who hears his word and does it is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock, and when the floods come and the rains come and the winds blow, it will not be destroyed. But the other person is like a person who hears the word of God, does not do the word of God, builds his house on a sand, and when the rains come, the floods grow, the winds blow, everything is completely and utterly destroyed. Because the foundation that you build upon today determines the outcome of your future. The foundation that you build upon today determines the outcome of your future. And many of you are hoping, praying, and believing for a future that you are not building for today. You want your family to serve Jesus, but you're not building the foundation
of reading the Word of God with your family. You want your marriage to endure through generations, right? You want your marriage to endure to the end. I want to be married to my wife until my goal is 50 plus years or until Jesus comes at least. I can't do that without ensuring that I'm building my life, not our life, my life. Husbands, listen to me. Stop putting the blame on your wife. Start laying the foundation for your own. Wives, look at me. Stop putting your blame on the husband and start dealing with your own heart. When the two of you die to yourselves, then you can live unto Christ first and unto each other second. But until you do that, you will continue to go through the same things and your ground will completely be shaky. Children, you want to know what it's like to have a blessed life? The Bible says, in order to have a long, blessed life, build a foundation of honoring your parents. Young people, you want to have success? We talked about that in Joshua last week, that the way to success is by living a life that's built on completely and utterly obeying the Word of God and nothing else. Success is not how much money you make. Success is not the bag that you build. Success is not the career that you have. Success is not the businesses that you have. Success is building your life upon the foundation of obeying God and trusting Him for the entirety of your life. And in doing that, you are found successful. So my question to you guys today is, what are you building your life on? What's your foundation? Some of you are building your house on the sand of success. But when the career crumbles and collapses, then what? Some of you are building your lives upon the sand of relationships. But when people fail you, and they will, then what? Some of you are building your life on the sand of religion, and you come to church and you do all the right things and you hear the word and you sing the songs and then you leave this place and you live completely as if nothing matters. Some of you are building your house on compromise and sexual immorality because at the end of the day, as long as your loneliness is fulfilled in some person who really doesn't really fulfill that aspect of your life, then hey, I'm all good. But the reality is that when that relationship crumbles, you're now left broken with soul ties that are ruining your life and that are ruining the relationships that God actually has for you. And what happens then? Fool builds because it's easy, cheap, on sand. But God calls us to build on a rock. Some of us, maybe it's the sand of self-reliance, where we've depended on our own strength and our own efforts and our own self-righteousness and our own ability to meet some kind of standard, which, by the way, you will always miss and fall short. Some of us might be building on the sand of comfort, where everything is based on what feels good to you, what doesn't make you feel uncomfortable, what pleases your senses. It's the things that John talked about, where it was everything in this world is one of three things: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And you're feeding one of those aspects of your sinful nature. The reality is, if you're honest, you know your foundation won't hold. So I'm going to ask my band to come up. And I want to give you an opportunity. For many of us, we've been building on the wrong foundation for too long. And if we're quite honest, we would say we've led our life straight into destruction. I know because I've talked to you, many of you, throughout the week. And your life is a pile of rubble. Here's a reality that I want you to wrestle with as we get ready to close. Every preacher says that, right? Get ready to close. Give me about 35 more minutes. Here's a reality I want you to wrestle with. this parable is about so much more than just what you face each and every day of your life. Because the reality is that there is a very real storm that we will all face at one point or another. And that is the reality of God's judgment. Righteous or unrighteous, wise or foolish, built on the rock or built on the sand, we all have this one thing in common. And that is that one point or another, we are going to have to stand before the judgment seat of God. And the only thing that will make sure that we are remaining standing when we face that storm is whether or not we've built our life on Jesus, who is our foundation. The book of Psalms says this. If you could put that up for me, Shaq. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. Here's the caveat to that whole verse. Is God the horn of your salvation? Is Jesus your rock? Or is all of your selfish ambition, your self-reliance, the relationships that you have produced, the money you've given yourself to, the sexual immorality that you've built your life upon, is all of that the sand that you're building on? Because on the day of judgment, when you have to face the storm of God's wrath and punishment and judgment, which is in fact righteous, you will not be able to stand. And that's a very real reality. And it's a sobering truth. But the hope that I have, the hope that my wife has, the hope that I desire for my children, the hope that I desire for you, is that when you face the storm of God's judgment head on and face on, no matter how bad your life has been, so long as you have put your faith and trust in the rock of Jesus and you have built your life upon that rock, there is nothing, not even the judgment of God, that will take you out, because what he will see is how strong your foundation is in Christ. And today you have a decision to make, just like they had a decision to make. Will I build my house on the sand and keep going my way until that storm comes? Or will I build my life on the rock so that I can have some sense of security, which can only be found in him? I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. I want to give you an opportunity to put your trust in Jesus. To do what the Bible says, and that is to repent and believe in him. Repent of what? Repent of how long you spent building your life on things that will not sustain you. Repent of the sin that you have allowed to corrupt and destroy your life day in and day out. And after you have done that, I want to encourage you to then say, God, I put my trust in you and in you alone, and will dedicate my entire life to trusting you and obeying you. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand right where you are, and I want to pray with you this morning. Amen. 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 Come on, don't leave today without actually making this decision to surrender your life. Amen. If that's you, would you just make this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. For so long I've pursued my own ambition. For so long I've pursued my own desires. For so long I've pursued my own pride. Today I surrender it all. Lord, I believe that you could cleanse me with your blood. And today, I put my faith in you. Would you be my Lord? Would you be my Savior? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Come on, can you put your hand for those people who made that decision this morning?